Welcome to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of APSATS, the Association of Partners of Sex Addict Trauma Specialists, hosted by Dr. Jake Porter. APSATS is a nonprofit organization providing professional training and compassionate support to partners affected by problematic sexual behavior and betrayal trauma. In each episode, Dr. Jake guides a conversation of enlightening insights and practical tools to empower those affected by sex addiction and betrayal trauma to use their voices and live their values. The mission of Betrayal Recovery Radio is to offer hope to those in need of healing and growth to those moving through grief. And now, here's your host, Dr. Jake Porter.
Welcome to this episode of Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official APSATS podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jake Porter, and today we're going to talk about something that is buzzing all around, a word anyway, that is buzzing through our society. It was recently named the word of the year, and that is gaslighting. Gaslighting is an incredibly important concept, one that is newer in terms of its popular knowledge, and especially in the realm of betrayal trauma and recovery from betrayal trauma. Why? Because it is the reality, or the distorted reality, of so many who have experienced hidden betrayal. Gaslighting as a term actually originated from a movie way back, I think it was the 1930s maybe. Angela Lansbury was in it as a young teenager, called The Gaslight. The plot of the movie is where this man is trying to make his wife think she is going crazy in order to steal her riches. And he does that. One of the ways he does that is telling her that he's going for a walk and she's alone in the house, when he goes up into the attic, and this is before electricity, and he messes with the gas in the house so that the lights flicker and that sort of thing. And she begins to question her own reality. Well, today we have a leading expert on the topic of gaslighting joining us, Sarah Morales, who is a board member of APSATS and a certified APSATS coach, is well known for her work on the subject of gaslighting. She's been coaching individuals and groups professionally for 10 years. During that time, she has contracted with numerous different helping professionals. She's spoken at national conferences. She's been on lots of podcasts, all talking about her gaslighting expertise. In 2022, her gaslighting specialty culminated in her Deconstructing Gaslighting offerings, a free video series, signature 12-week course, and podcast, all aimed at empowering others to better understand and identify gaslighting in their lives and relationships. Sarah's passion to empower others to transform their lives fuels her work with her clients and pushes her to continue developing new programs on the cutting edge of helping others grow to know, trust, and love themselves more than they knew it was possible. Sarah is brilliant. I love my conversations with her, and you're going to really enjoy this conversation on gaslighting today, particularly as we talk about how this concept, as it is getting so well known and the term is spreading like wildfire, how it is often misused and some of the dangers of that. So I hope that you will really enjoy and get a lot from this conversation with my friend and colleague, Sarah Morales. Sarah Morales in the house. How are you, my friend?
I am well. I'm well. I'm actually have electricity and all of the things. So I'm
all
good.
Of the things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For folks who don't know, it's been pretty chilly in Texas. You're up there in Austin. I'm in Houston. It's been worse for you than me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
power outages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. 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 That's the reason for my dry skin. Just to put it out there, I'm going to go ahead and name it for people. The people who are watching the video, you can see my dry skin. I'm so sorry. Okay. Well, Sarah, I am so excited to have you on Betrayal Recovery Radio. Been looking forward to this.
Yes, me
and,
too.
And
Yeah, I always learn so much from you. Before we get into our stuff, though, I just want to let our audience know that in addition to all the wonderful things that I told them you are in your formal bio, you are also a fabulous hip hop dancer.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Okay. I mean, Am I wrong? No, you're not wrong.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm taking it. You saw on one of my TikToks.
And I just, because I'm a total band nerd and geek, your son is doing DCI?
He is. So, not only is he doing DCI, he made Blue Devils this year, which
I know.
Yeah.
So
they're huge.
So for people who are big marching band fans, I was drum major in high school.
Oh, nice.
This is a big deal. Yeah. I was so impressed when I saw that on your Facebook. So
yeah, very excited. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay. All right. I just, you know, I love that stuff. So I had
relatable,
to mention
fun
it.
Stuff.
Yeah. So, okay, we're talking about gaslighting, and specifically, you know, I wanted to visit with you about how this word has just swept into our culture, right? And there are so many good things about that. It's a needed concept. It's empowering for a lot of folks. But I also have some concerns that sometimes I think it might be being misused. But let's start at the beginning.
Yes. All right.
So it's 10 years ago, you really started working with gaslighting and this concept of gaslighting. And you decided that this is going to really be your niche, your focus. I mean, most people 10 years ago, the vast majority never heard of it.
Correct. Right?
So you've been doing this way longer than most of us. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. So based on your deep dive, you know, into gaslighting for the last decade, does it surprise you how this word has taken off the last few years?
It doesn't, actually. You know, I think as humans, we search for and seek out words to help us define our experiences, right? And that, I mean, that's how it was for me. You know, when I first stumbled across the concept, I was like, oh my goodness, there's a word to help me now name what I've been experiencing. So I think the more the word has been shared and talked about and seen and all of those things, the more people are relating to the concept of it and feeling like, finally, I have something to concisely name what I've been experiencing. And then I think also the validation that goes along with it, because it is a pretty unique concept, right? There aren't very many other concepts where it's like, why do I feel like I'm going crazy? Oh, this explains it, right? Like there aren't too many non, you know, mental health issues that I should say, right? Like if we have imbalances, whatever, those types of things that I let all y'all therapists take care of, right? Like, you know, outside of something like that, there isn't too many words that describe it. So I'm not surprised at all, right? Like I felt like I was a voice in the wilderness for such a long time, you know, trying to get the information out there. So yeah, no, I'm not too surprised at that.
Yeah. Well, you were a voice in the wilderness. You know, I really did learn a lot about gaslighting. I had heard the term, but I didn't really begin understanding the more complex nuances of it until I heard from you and a lot of your stuff. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
And so now, I mean, it's really taken off. 2022, it was Merriam-Webster's Word of the Year, which is incredible. So, I mean, so now what are your thoughts as you're hearing about gaslighting being this buzzword, being the word of the year, being so much in the forefront?
Yeah. So as with any word that gains, you know, such huge popularity so fast, there are both pros and cons, like kind of like you just said, right? Like I'm really glad and I also have some concerns and I'm like, yes, me too. Right. When that happens, right? Like there are a lot of people, well, actually, you know what? Let's back up and let's start with the positives. For me, the positives are bringing awareness, right? Like people that are stuck in relationships where this is happening. I'm a firm believer that if there is chronic gaslighting happening in a relationship, it's next to impossible to leave it. If you don't know that it's happening, right? Because we become so disconnected from our own truth and our voice and our place of authentic power. It's really, really hard. Both from my own personal experience, I don't think I would have left as messed up as some of the stuff my ex did. I don't think I would have. A lot of my clients have said the same thing. Like, I don't think I would have left if I didn't know about this component of gaslighting. Right? Like dealing with all the other things are good, but for them, that was the crucial bit. And it has been for me, which is one of the reasons why I chose to focus on it. So it has brought an awareness, right? Where people now can go and they can pretty quickly and easily find videos and, you know, definitions and, you know, of course, TikToks like mine, right? Like different things like that. And so again, it's giving people a starting place, and it's so much easier to find than it was 10 years ago when I first found it, right? Mine is totally happenstance. Now it's easy. So to me, that's one of the most positive things. I don't know if you see any other positive.
What you said, I would agree with, and what came up for me as you're thinking about it is, or you were talking about it, I'm thinking, this is one of the most powerful things about language, even with emotions, right? Mm-hmm. The moment I name what I'm feeling, the word is like a container.
Yep.
You know, words are containers. It contains the experience. It makes it a concept. And now I can do something with it, right? Mm-hmm. When it's unnamed and it's just out there, it's like this nebulous force.
Yes.
And I don't know exactly what I'm dealing with and, you know, how to move through it, what it even is. Name it something. Okay, I can do something with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. So those are some of the pros, right? So I almost said cons, which are like pros and cons. Some of the, I love it.
We'll do those next.
The cons for me is, again, when something is made so big so quickly, you know, and especially something like gaslighting, which to me is very complex and very nuanced, people think they understand it before they actually do, right? Like they'll read a few blogs, they'll watch a few videos or whatever. And like, okay, now I know what gaslighting is. Now I can go and I can tell other people. And like, there's inaccurate information floating around, and there's what I would call incomplete information floating around. And so for me, you know, I use an analogy in some of the teachings that I do, where it's like a bridge that is half built. Right. Like a lot of it is helpful information, but without the other half, you can't get to where you need to go. Right. And so, it's not always accurate. It's not always fully understood. And again, to me, this can actually leave people feeling more confused and more disempowered.
Wow. That's really powerful. Before we go any further.
Yeah.
Let's just stop. And let's say, I mean, it's almost hard to imagine this, but I would be willing to bet, if I were a betting man, someone's listening to this podcast going, wait, but what is gaslighting?
Yes.
So why don't we take a minute and just define it? So
yes. Okay.
Would you do that for us? What is gaslighting? You're starting from the ground up, someone who doesn't know.
For sure. So first of all, I want to put this disclaimer out there. I know that the way that I work with gaslighting, the definition that I use ruffles some feathers. Because a lot of people out there want gaslighting to stay only in the realm of the narcissist or the sociopath, right? Like they don't want it to be a more human behavior. And that's why I consider myself and others consider me a thought leader. So that being said, if you Googled the definition of gaslighting, it has morphed over the years. And most recently, the definition has come closest and closer to what I use it. The definition that I've been using for a few years now is, I'll give it in just a minute. It used to be a lot further from the definition that it is now. I feel like, some of social media and some of the things are catching up. But the definition that I use because of the confusion that my clients got from the other definition. I used it because of how I saw it playing out. To me, I liken gaslighting to water, it behaves differently in different situations. Oh, you put water in the freezer, it turns to ice. You put it on the stove, it turns eventually to gas, right? Or steam or whatever.
Right. Right.
A vapor. What, I don't know. I can't remember. It's been too long since
gas,
chemistry,
you got
right?
It. You're good.
Like, what, right. So it behaves differently. We can't just put one stamp on it and say we've got it nailed, which is why I've taken so long to deconstruct it. So that's the disclaimer. So my definition is when one person or a group of people through covert behaviors. Now that's very key. Okay, there has to be covert behaviors happening. So pause there for a second. An example of a covert behavior is manipulation, lying, coercion, right? They're covert, they're hidden. So one person, group of people, through covert behaviors, convinces another person that what they think, feel, believe, or perceive, I like to include feelings in there because I think a lot of gaslighting happens around our feelings. So convinces them that any one of those things is inaccurate or invalid. So let me say it one time without all the pauses.
Yes,
when a person or a group of people through covert behaviors convinces another person that what they think, believe, perceive, or feel is inaccurate or invalid.
Okay. Fabulous.
That's my definition.
Got it.
And I feel like that's one that's really relatable to a lot of people.
Sure.
Right? It's a lot easier to sink your teeth into.
You know what I'm thinking about right now?
Tell me.
Is my 2-year-old daughter.
Yes.
And what we've been doing the last few nights to get her to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The TV stops until mm-hmm. she takes another bite and she has to go mm-hmm. and open her mouth and show the TV. Mm-hmm. A bite mm-hmm. and I'm it, like, it's literally coming to me in this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm hiding a covert mm-hmm. behavior. I'm mm-hmm. hiding that I have this remote control, mm-hmm. you know, and in my mind, it's this fun game and she laughs and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I think she actually knows that I'm doing it.
Yes, yes.
But I mm-hmm. don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm sitting here really genuinely reflecting in this moment, like, I need to tell her, I need to say, you know, daddy's doing this right. This is a game we're playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if she wants to play that game, that's fine.
Yes. uh-huh. Yes. I mean, it's to your point, right? Like, that's one of the realizations I had. Like, my first realization was, oh, crap, this is what happened in my relationship. The second realization was, oh, crap, I do this to my kids. And then my third realization was, oh, crap, I do this to myself.
Yeah. Ooh. And I remember you talking about doing it to your kids. And that was when I had this, like, mind this like mm-hmm. cognitive traffic jam in my head, like, wait a minute. uh-huh. I thought I understood gaslighting until this moment right here. And super, super powerful.
Yeah. That realization, and to your point, Jake, is what led me to do deeper and deeper dives into this to understand. And it's why I've created a scale to help us understand that there are different levels of awareness and different motives that people can have when they do gaslighting behaviors. So there's a difference, right, between what you did with your daughter, what I did with my kids, and the person who is fully aware of what they're doing, and their intention is to try to get somebody to change the way that they think about something, the way that they feel about something, with hidden behaviors, right? It's different if you and I are having a conversation and a friendly debate and everything is above board. Right. That's not gaslighting.
Right.
That's having a conversation. Right. But if the way that I'm trying to get you to change what you think, feel, believe, et cetera, is hidden, if I don't want you to know that I'm trying to get you to change any of those things, that's when we start stepping into the realm of gaslighting.
That's good. That's good. So we've got people using this new awareness, this powerful word, this powerful concept that is helping us name part of our experience, because it is, I mm-hmm. agree with you, it's something way more general than just reserved for the sociopaths and the narcissists and all that. But you're saying also, though, that when people are using this term inaccurately or without fully understanding it, that's causing some problems. What do you see as some of the biggest problems that's come from this?
Yeah. Okay. So, you and I both love Brené Brown.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
And, you know, I recently took a group of my guys through, you know, her Atlas of the Heart. And we were talking about how important it is to have the right word to name the right experience, because that informs how we feel as we go through it. Right. So if we have this picture of gaslighting as something that only somebody who has a narcissistic personality disorder or would fall into the antisocial, you know, all that kind of again, therapy stuff, right? that creates a stigma where then if I think I'm experiencing gaslighting, that person now is really scary.
Oh.
Right? Like I have no other option but to look at them as somebody who is malicious.
Wow.
Who probably can't be fixed, quote unquote fixed, right? You probably can't stop those behaviors, right? It really pigeonholes me or backs me into a corner and robs me of feeling empowered to make decisions and to gain information as to whether or not my person can change, my gaslighter can change, right? Wow. So for me, that's one of the biggest problems with the kind of misinformation that is out there. So, what else did I say?
Well, I've never thought of that one, and I've thought through this topic before. You know, I talked with you about, can we talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
And, but that's one I had not thought of.
Mm-hmm.
That is, but now that you name it, I actually can see that. I can see how I have clients I've worked with who, because they've experienced gaslighting, they come to conclusions about their partners.
Yes.
And then therefore their relationships.
Yes.
That I don't think line up clinically with what I'm seeing and what I've assessed.
Yes.
That's super powerful. Super powerful.
You know, I would love to connect that to one of the examples that I prepped for this interview for how gaslighting is being misused. Right.
Okay.
So it's very easy to Google, like I did it this morning again, because I'm like, let's see what's out there right now, because it changes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sure.
So current common gaslighting phrases. Right. What are some common gaslighting phrases? And these to me are some of those half bridges that are built that make people like your clients think my person is malicious. Right. Because my person tells me all the time, I didn't say that. That's a common gaslighting phrase. I think I said that to my partner the other day, right? Like, I was not gaslighting them. I literally did not say that. So what happens next is what's important. Then do I go in then and say, so you have no right to question me. You have no validity in your feeling, right? Like you can't just take these phrases and label them as a gaslighting phrase, because it takes context. It takes understanding of the patterns that surround those. Like there's so much more there than just that common phrase. Another one that I pulled up was, you need help. Now, if I'm saying that cold and maliciously, and I've got nothing wrong with me, and you're the only one who needs help, then yeah, it is a gaslighting phrase. But if I'm stuck in a pattern with my partner and we both need help, and the other, maybe one of them's like, I don't think I need help. And I'm like, I actually think you do need help with this, right? Like I get to say to my partner, my person, my kid, you know, anybody that I'm like in relationship with at that level, like, I really think you need help about this.
Right.
Because if you don't get help with this, it impacts our relationship, and I get to have those kinds of boundaries, right? Like a lot of partners actually feel like they don't get to tell their person that they need help. Now, you don't get to dictate how and when and all of those kinds of things, but you can say, I need you to get help on this topic in your life because it keeps dragging us down. That's not gaslighting.
Yeah.
Right. And so go ahead.
Yeah. Well, and what, you know, as I'm hearing you, I'm like, that also takes, though, a certain level of trust to receive that from a partner. You know, 100%. So I just want to say, like, for any listeners out there, especially if you're the one who did the betraying and you're listening to this, you may have to earn the right to be able to say that.
Yes.
And that be received.
Yes. 100%.
But what you're saying, Sarah, is eventually in a healthy relationship, partners say these things to each other.
100%. Normal partner stuff, right? But that's why for me, it's the context. Right. It can be used as a gaslighting phrase, but sometimes it's not a gaslighting phrase, but when we say it is, full stop, it's only half of the information, and we might actually inaccurately identify what the other person is trying to do.
Mm.
Right? They might not trying to covertly convince you that you're messed up when you're not. Right.
Right.
They might not have earned the right to say that to you yet, but they might not be wrong. Right. Like you, so there's so much.
Yeah.
There's so much there. And so to me, that's kind of that problem, right? Like it's a little bit careless to me.
Mm-hmm.
The way some of these lists are put out without enough explanation, right? Like to me, I do give a list like this in the teachings that I do. And what I say for them is not these are gaslighting phrases. I say they're red flags to alert you to get curious. Is gaslighting happening?
Oh, I love
that. That's how they should be used. Not as a blanket label of this is gaslighting.
Yeah.
Right. That allows us to get curious, that allows us to look at patterns. It allows us to look at context, right? It'll, right? So much permission, and that's where the power comes from, right? Yes.
Oh, that's so good. I mean, I started having this concern. It's probably been a couple years back, and I was working with a couple, and the husband who was the one who had done the betraying. He, he was an addict. He was actually in good recovery and had taken follow-up polygraphs and all this. His wife was convinced, like if they would go out to a restaurant, she would say, "I know you were looking at that woman." And he'd say, what woman? And she'd say, "Don't gaslight me." And she was, I mean, for, as a third party.
Yes.
I get where it comes from. It comes from 100% betrayal trauma.
Yep.
There's fear there. She is hypervigilant. She's on alert. But what I saw was that her misunderstanding of gaslighting was keeping her from doing exactly what you just said you coach your clients to. Get curious about what's going on here. Because in her being able to say, "You're gaslighting me by saying you didn't see that woman," it kept her from being able to enter into a conversation with him of, "When we're in crowds and there are women around, I get really scared and I don't know where you are."
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, to your point, when I'm work, cause I work with both the betrayed spouse and the one who does the betraying, the addict and the non, all that kind of stuff. I work both sides. And when I'm working with a person, that is trying to learn how to stop gaslighting, we talk about formats for conversation, right? Because sometimes gaslighting, there's no kind of the covertness of it is almost that the person that's doing it doesn't know that they're doing it because they just suck at communication. Like they're really like they're unaware of how to actually say something that is a validating statement because they're so far behind, you know, emotionally, and they're trying to catch up and all of these kinds of things. And to your point, it's also valid that the other person got triggered because prior to their good, solid recovery, they did these behaviors.
That's right. There's real history there.
Exactly. Right. There's a difference between, you know, someone being afraid of, you know, a sudden stop at a red light when they've been in a car accident. Right. You have an experience that informs your fear in the moment of a quick stop. That's very different than me being afraid of getting, this was a valid fear I had the first time I flew over the ocean, the plane crashing and not me dying by the plane crashing, but being dying by being eaten by a shark.
Interesting.
You know, I saw Jaws when I was way too young or something. I don't know. But the point is, right, like what we're talking about in this situation with partners is when you've experienced something for years and years and years, and now you're experiencing something that feels similar, right? Kind of like that car accident. I'm feeling a screeching halt in a vehicle, and I've experienced that before, and that led to harm for me. This feels similar, kind of like the screeching halt, but I didn't get harmed this time. Right? Learning how to differentiate those things is part of the healing that a partner does.
Yes.
Right? So how do we do that when we're being told even the screeching halt, right, is also malicious?
Mm.
That's kind of my point about the gaslighting, right? There is gaslighting that is done with intention to hide, to confuse, to redirect, all of these kinds of things. And then there's gaslighting that's done because it's habitual. They don't even know that they're doing it. It's shame-based, right? Like it's such an automatic defense that it takes a while to slow down and reprogram the brain from a shame response. Like all of these are, so, but again, how do we feel safe enough to get curious to even see where our partner falls in that if the only truth that we're being given, quote unquote truth that we're being given, is that the only people that do gaslighting behaviors are narcissists? And so, we don't. We're going to see it all as a threat.
That's right. Yeah. What you're saying is reminding me about a client that I just saw recently and the levels of gaslighting that this guy had put his wife through. He had done the betraying. Were uncanny. It was just huge. Mm. Just whipping her reality back and forth every which direction to the point that it was popping up in my head. Like, is there some antisocial traits on board here? Mm-hmm. As we explored though, what I learned is this guy, had early abuse starting at the age of 3, parents who gaslit him, huge shame-based family system. And he had never known anything else. And what eventually came out that was so powerful, and this goes back to something you said earlier, in our conversation, he wasn't just, you know, gaslighting her and people around him. He was gaslighting himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to that ability we have to gaslight ourselves? Because I think that's super important.
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, for me, curiosity is close to, if not my number one value. And one of the reasons why is because, for those of you who know this book, I'm going to reference the Four Agreements. This is one of the places where when I was reading that, I'm like, this guy's talking about one of the reasons why we self-gaslight. And what he says in this book is he talks about how we're basically kind of domesticated animals, right? And so for me, we have to, as human beings, have, you know, an understanding, right? So this stuff that I see outside when I look on the ground is called grass and it's green, right?
Right.
Now, we have to have some level of some people telling us what things are. And making an agreement, right? So that we can actually have conversation. But especially, well, I don't know if it's only our Western society, but, you know, there is a lack of teaching curiosity, right? Well, okay, so that's called grass. Do I like grass, right? Do I want to have grass in my yard, or do I want to, you know, go all Arizona and like xeriscape? Like, what do I want to do? Like, you know, we're not taught to get curious where we can, right? So then when somebody comes in and tries to define for us things, and typically it starts at a young age where you have people that are in places of authority or places of power who might tell you anything from what a respectable job is to what you should look for in a partner. I mean, all of these different things. And because they're people that we love or we respect, or are in a place of authority, we say, okay, because that's kind of what we've been trained to do, right? Instead of sinking in and saying, okay, but is that the kind of job I want to have? Whether it's respectable or not, is that an important value to me? Respect. Maybe it's not. Yeah. Maybe I'd rather wake up and feel joy every morning than respect. I don't know, right? Like,
yeah.
Some of us get to have both, but, you know, like you. But the point is, right, like for me, how this plays into self-gaslighting, you know, what it does is I'm going to speak now as a woman, right, who grew up seeing images of what is attractive, right? And instead of feeling like, you know what, I get to love my body however it is, whatever weight it's at, whether I have injuries and I'm, you know, 20 pounds overweight, or whether I'm fit and, you know, my ideal weight. Like, I get to love myself no matter what, right? Like, when we're kind of defined for us what to believe, what to think, how to feel about certain things, it keeps us from connecting to our own truth, right? So we internalize. It might have gotten a little bit complicated, but basically what happens is these external gaslighting messages happen often so hidden, right? Like, nobody actually came to me and said, Sarah, you should want to be at 5'7". That's how tall I am. You should want to be 120 pounds. Nobody told me that directly, right? But seeing these images and all, you know, especially because in my generation growing up, they didn't have very many plus size models, or quote unquote plus size, which is like what, like over a six or I don't even know what qualifies. Right. But the point is, like, it wasn't direct, but these indirect messages I was bombarded with then internalized. And I would tell myself, oh, I should exercise more so that I can be more fit, because then I'll be more attractive. I'll have more power. I'll whatever are the things, right? So we gaslight ourselves instead of saying things like, you know what? Maybe I just want to be happy being me, right? Like, maybe I don't want to try to conform and put so much effort and energy and thought into looking a certain way.
So I want to reflect it back to make sure I'm following. Yes. So it's like, let's take the example of, you know, a body image for a young woman.
Yes.
So the manipulation of reality would be something like, you can't be happy looking like that.
Exactly. You won't be wanted.
You won't be wanted. You can't be happy. Mm-hmm. So maybe I am happy, but I can't be happy. Not
exactly.
Like this.
And exactly.
So that's the gaslighting. So if
that's,
I tell myself, if I go along with it now.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
I can't be happy unless I look like that. I'm gaslighting myself.
Exactly.
It's deep.
And it is deep. And there's not shame in it, right? Like, again, because we're not taught to challenge those things.
Right.
Of course. Right. That's like one of my favorite statements. Of course I struggle with this. You know, I've been inundated with these messages. Of course, at 47 years old, I still struggle with this.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong battle, right? Like, you grow up, movies, TV, magazines, like all over the place. And it's, you know, high key coercive. If you don't fit in this image, kind of like you said, you know, your person's probably going to cheat on you.
Wow.
Boom. How about that?
Oof.
How can you satisfy your person?
Send a shiver all the way down me.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, powerful.
Right? Instead of like standing in our power and being like, I am amazing. Right? Like, I am powerful. I am beautiful. I am loving. I am all of these kinds of things. And this definition of attraction, I reject for me.
Yeah.
I will never be 6 feet tall and 120 pounds. I will never be. I will never even be 5'7" and 120 pounds. I just won't. Right? Mm-hmm. I reject that definition. This is one of my favorite sayings. Nobody gets to define for me my reality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody. I'm the expert on me.
Right.
But we lose that. We're told we're not. We're told we can't trust ourselves. We're told, you know, we can only trust this part of us, our brain, right? For those that are listening and not watching.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We're not told that we can trust our body or our heart.
Yeah.
Right.
And to be able to hold on to that truth, nobody gets to define my reality with me, without letting that swing you all the way over to some of those mistakes we were talking about earlier.
Yes.
Of, therefore, if you say something I don't like or agree with, you're gaslighting me.
Exactly.
So there's a humility and a curiosity.
Yes.
That has to be onboarded with that certainty.
Absolutely.
A balance.
100%. Yes. Yeah, I love what you did, because I use that with my clients a lot too. We talk about the pendulum swing, right? And our goal is to find alignment. Our goal is to say, nobody gets to define for me, but that doesn't mean I'm not open to hearing what other people might have to say.
That's right. That's right.
I'm still going to consider if somebody says there, I think you're being a little bit harsh with what you just said right there. I'm not being like, you don't get to define for me that I was being harsh. I'm going to be like, okay, I don't think I'm going to check in with myself first. Do mm-hmm. I think or do I not think I was being harsh and why? How do I define harsh? Because maybe I was being harsh to them. Two people, this is one of the biggest keys about gaslighting that I see not happening, is it is possible for two people to experience the same thing and have different perceptions and both be right.
Yes. Yes. Can we get some applause for that, folks? I'm just, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, as simply as, you know, I had a colleague telling me about a couple that got in a fight over the color of a bathroom counter.
Yes.
Right. Because the guy thought it was one color and the wife thought it was another color. And because he wouldn't agree with her, she's like, you're gaslighting me. So they actually ended up calling like the maker of this countertop to get the name of the counter to see if he was trying to gaslight her. And he was actually right. He was saying the right color. But, you know, I've gotten in conversations with people. First of all, I'm not great at naming colors. But second of all, like, I remember having a conversation with my partner multiple times about this one pillow that we have. And I thought it was gray and they thought it was beige.
Oh, this is my wife and me. I mean, I'm like, that's brown. That's gray. Yes. That's black.
Right.
No, it's dark brown.
Right.
And you know what's crazy?
Yeah.
Our brains could literally see the color differently.
Well, and not only that, right? Like maybe I don't have as much color awareness as my partner.
Sure.
Who's
differentiation.
Artistic.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like they might see 10 different colors. I might see they're all brown or they're all gray. Like, what are you talking about? Right. Mm-hmm. And there's like 10 different colors that they can name. Right. So that's an important part, right? Like understanding that because someone is having a different perception doesn't mean they're gaslighting you. They could be. Again, that's that curiosity place.
Yes.
And how that connects back around to self-gaslighting is a lot of us have come into, you know, relationships with different vulnerabilities. And this is one of my favorite places that I get to teach with and work with people. Mine, I consider myself a rather intelligent person. I don't know how this goes with also being super gullible. I don't know how they go together, Jake, but they do. So I was super gullible for a really long time, like a really long time. And if somebody just seemed really certain with what they were saying and it was different than what I thought, I'd be like, oh, well, I must be wrong.
Wow.
Because they were so confident and, you know, I didn't have the confidence that I do now, right, to check in with myself and be like, well, I wonder why they think that. Like, why is that their reality? Like, why do they feel that way and I feel different? Why do I feel different? Not, oh, I must be wrong. It's like, what is going on here? Why is there a difference here? That doesn't mean I automatically, I'm either right or they're either wrong. Again,
right.
That's why curiosity has become such an important value. I tell my clients to become like that annoying 3-year-old. But why? It's coming, Jake. It's coming. But why? What is that? That's the sky. But why? Why is it this? Right? It's like continually asking these questions and not stopping with the first answer.
That's so good. Thank
asking
you.
More and more questions.
So let's kind of lay this out.
Yes.
Zoom out a little bit.
Yes.
There's a journey to get there, right? People aren't going to listen to this and go, oh, and be doing these things that you're talking about.
Right.
So
right.
How have you seen people's journey with discovering gaslighting go? If this is a new course for somebody, lay out the terrain for them.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, if you're first hearing about gaslighting, typically people when how do I want to say this? You'll see and recognize gaslighting in hindsight, right? So now that you have this word, you might be talking to a friend, you might be journaling, you might be talking to your therapist, and be like, "Oh, that was gaslighting, wasn't it?" Right? The more you study it, the more you learn some of the types of things I teach, right? Like the different techniques and tactics, and you get to see the different moving parts. I liken gaslighting to a grandfather clock, right? So the more that it's moving, I mean, the different pieces, right? Like the more you understand the different pieces, the more you can see things, you can see it in real time. Oh, this is gaslighting. It's happening right now, but I'm not quite sure what to do about it. Right. And then the next bit is being able to understand what are the things that trigger gaslighting experiences, right? Like with different couples, for example, it might be different topics. Sure. Some people get triggered and might do a gaslighting response when they're talking about recovery, for example, or finances, or how to parent the children when there's different opinions or different realities or different feelings about how to parent the children, right? So it's a progression the more you understand the different parts. So one of the things I would like to point out here, even within that process, I think progression, what I have seen most often is a struggle at the beginning. I'm thinking of a client that I have right now, dear client. I just adore her. And she's been gaslit so chronically that she second guesses everything, right? Wow. So it's not just her person, but it's her. Right? Like maybe this is just me because her person is being a little resistant. We'll be nice and say they're being a little resistant.
Sure, sure.
To getting help and things, right? So maybe it's me. Maybe I am overreacting. Maybe I am the one that's right. So it often starts with a self-doubt, with questioning their reality, their validity to what they want. And the more they start to see how gaslighting has impacted those thoughts, the freer that they are able to get and say, no, I'm not asking for too much. Like my bar is actually really on the ground with what I'm asking for my person. Like it's not a high bar at all. Yeah. Right. And it's not wrong or too much for me to ask for A, B, and C. So the more you start to learn, the more you start to step into who you are, the validity of your thoughts, feelings, beliefs, needs, et cetera.
And when do you see that begin, that shift for people? When do you see that start to happen usually?
That's a good question. So for me, many of my clients, when they first come to me, they come to me because they're desperate, right? Everything they've tried is not working. Right? They cannot get clear about things. They cannot. And a big part of it is they feel like they can't get their person to stop gaslighting. Right? So for me, when people really start to shift is, again, kind of what I just was saying, where they learn how to, and this is where, sorry, I'm going to pause here and say what I love about following you on social media is, you know, how attuned we are and the things that we like to teach, values, boundaries, and then for me, throwing the gaslighting, right? They are a triad for me. They're interconnected, right?
Absolutely.
Because one of the things that happens with chronic gaslighting is when we try to have effective boundaries, we can't hold them. And so when people start to recognize the gaslighting and are able to stand in their boundaries, to me, that's when the biggest shifts start to happen, right? When they're not talked out of their boundaries.
Yes. I thank you. I didn't know where you were going to go with that question, but it's it's great because that is what I tell people. That's where you have to like,
yes,
boundaries. I can even learn to just start do the actions of boundaries, even if my inside needs to catch up to it.
Yes.
But I can begin changing the system, changing the dynamic with some good boundaries.
Yes. Yeah. And this is where the gaslighting part comes in, because if I'm having a session with you, for example, Jake, and you know, you're like, Sarah, I really think you should have a boundary, you know, or consider having a boundary around this. I think it would really help with your safety and your blah, 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 right? Whatever you would say.
Right.
And I'd be like, yes, I'm going to go home and I'm going to do that tonight. And then I go to my person and they are not wanting a boundary around that. Right. And so they're like, I remember in fact, one of my clients, when she was doing some of this, her partner's response was to say, that's not you. That's Sarah.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a great example. Not a good one. Like, no, I know. You know what I mean? That's a great example.
So if I went home and I tried to instill this boundary and my person was like, that's not you, that's Jake talking. Immediately I question whether or not,
well,
is that really me? Or is that Jake now? Like, what the heck? Like, because we're so often disconnected. from our own knowing because of the gaslighting, right? It's hard to hold that boundary in the face of gaslighting. So again, to me, that's why that knowledge of gaslighting comes into play. Because if I go home though, and I have that knowledge of gaslighting and I'm like, you know what? I might pause and question like, wait a second. They're trying to define for me whether or not this is a boundary that I really want to have. They're invalidating my need for this boundary and challenging it by saying that it's Jake's, not mine. That feels like gaslighting. Like, what do
that's
I think?
So good.
I'm gonna slow down and I'm gonna connect with myself. Will this help me? Will this boundary help me? Like, where am I not feeling safe? Right. And that's, I mean,
curiosity.
Listen. Curiosity. And when we're triggered, it's almost impossible to do that. But the more, this is why that shift, it begins to happen. And the more we do that, the more we begin to rewire our brain, the more we're able to recognize those things, the more we're able to stay in our boundaries, stay grounded and not concede.
Oh, so good. Okay. So let's say we got a listener. Yeah. They've been listening to this conversation. They're thinking, oh my gosh, this is me. Mm-hmm. This is my experience. I don't know why I know it, but I know, mm-hmm. I know it. This is gaslighting. And I don't know what to do when I am, you know, where do they go?
Yeah.
What do they do, Sarah?
So, for me, like, listen, I want to say, if this is you and you're like, oh my gosh, this is me, like maybe these other definitions scared me and I didn't think it was me, but now that you're talking about this and I hear you, like I'm feeling like, I feel like the gut punch was probably what I make up people would be feeling. Right.
Sure.
Like punched in the gut. Like, I want to just say, first of all, you're going to be okay. Right. Like, you can learn how to see these things when they're happening, both externally and internally. Right. Like, Jake and I have talked about gaslighting our kids. Right. Like, for me, I have the best, healthiest relationships I've ever had with anybody, both on the receiving end and the giving end, because of the things that I've learned and worked with gaslighting. Wow. So I just want to say that, like, you don't have to be afraid. You've got choices. You are not disempowered. You are not, you know.
Thank you. Yes.
You are not, you know, you don't have to resign to being in a relationship where gaslighting is always happening, right? Like, that's one of the wonderful things about learning this, is sometimes when we change how we show up and we ask our person to show up differently, if they're in a good recovery, they will start to try to change as well. So that's the first thing that I would say. But the way that I tell people to kind of work on this is, the first thing you want to do is, you want to not so much focus on trying to identify the gaslighting behaviors, but like try to sink in and get curious and ask about yourself. Right? Like, whenever something just feels off, say, why, you know, I'm going to take a time out here. And why am I feeling the way that I feel? What is happening here? How do I feel about what's happening? What do I think about what's happening? Do I think there's more truth here? You know, what is my gut saying? What is my heart saying? Like, getting curious, right? That's the first thing to do. And then secondly, for me, there are more and more people who have the knowledge to work with gaslighting, right? Like, the more people are kind of catching up, the more they're able to help others. But I really do firmly believe that working with somebody who really understands gaslighting and can help you understand gaslighting is pivotal.
Sure.
Right? Like, find someone who can be your, like, you know, guide through the jungle, if you will.
So how do they find you, Sarah?
Well, how do they find me specifically?
Go to the source.
Yes, I would love it. You know, on that note, you know, even if you already have an amazing therapist or coach, I do have a course that is available at, in my opinion, a very reasonable price. You can go through it with your therapist or with your own coach. You don't have to pay for me for my time. Right. But if you want my brain on your situation, there are a couple of options that you can go through the course as well. I have a number of offerings that I'm really, really excited about. I've been tweaking them and leveling them up for the better part of 5 years. And I'm really excited about my current offerings. You can find them all on my website, SarahMorellisCoaching.com. I'm also, honestly, putting out a lot of short but good content on my TikTok. I'm really having fun with that medium, and putting out a lot of great information. How would you respond to different gaslighting? Like just a bunch of different stuff. So, my handle there is Sassy Sarah Deconstructs because I like to be a little bit more playful there, and my sassiness definitely comes out. But I want to get this information in the hands of as many people as I possibly can, because I believe it's so life-changing. So if you want to work on it with your own safe person or your own safe group, I've made a way for that to happen as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I just want to say to all of you listening or watching, I have watched Sarah's work and watched the evolution of it. And I've watched her pour herself into, as she said, leveling up her offerings.
Yep.
And, I love her stuff. So, you know, I think that any of you who are looking for a place to start, please just go to her website, check out what she's doing, follow her on those social media, channels, and you're going to learn. Mm-hmm. You're going
to
learn.
Yeah.
Sarah,
I would love to say too.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'd love to just put it out there too. Like I actually encourage everybody to start with my free video series. So yeah. I have free offerings too. And
that's a very good price.
Yes. It's a very good price. And it's like, honestly, it's like 90 minutes worth of information. Really meaty and into a lot more depth of some of the things that we talked about and hit on here today. So I want to make sure people knew, even if they're really super financially constrained, a lot of people find big shifts even from that free stuff that I have there.
And all those links will be in the show notes down below or on your app. And Sarah, I just want to say thank you for being you. Thank you for the work you do. It is so important. And thank you for joining us here.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor.
All right. You've been listening to Betrayal Recovery Radio, the official podcast of AppSats. If you've received help or hope from this episode, I encourage you to share it with someone you know. If you've not yet done so, please subscribe to our podcast on your favorite listening platform. Thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. Jake Porter, and you can always email me directly at jake@appsats.org. I'd love to hear your ideas, questions, or comments about the show. Until next time, keep choosing to use your voice and live your values. It's good for you and for this world.